who was lame from the time pretty much he was born, we think. He laid at the pool for 38 years. Because every once in a while, nobody knew when, but every once in a while, the waters would be stirred up. And the first one in the pool, first one that could get into the water would get a miracle, would get healed. And so there was a guy there for 38 years and apparently never got into the water. No one would help him into the water. You get that, right? You ever been to a dinner where they're calling what tables go first? And watch how depraved human beings can be. Do you ever see what happens when toilet paper isn't at Walmart? Or there's word of a meat shortage? Or it's going to snow 3 inches, but could be potentially 2 feet? And all of a sudden, the only thing that can nourish you is milk and bread. Do you understand what it's like at the pool of Bethesda? Do you understand what it's like when the first person that gets in is the one that gets the healing? It's like Animal House. And so this guy had been there for 38 years. And then Jesus walks in. And he goes to this one man. Wonder how many people were there. We don't know. A lot. And probably 100% of them were sick. And Jesus walks up to this one person. Wonder what it would have been like for me to sit there that day, sick. I don't know how long I've been there. And Jesus goes to this one guy. What about me? Where's my bread and milk? Where's my toilet paper? And he goes to this one man and he looks at him and he says, do you want to be well? And the guy probably looks at him and go like, are you nuts? Are you drinking? What's wrong with you? Look at me. He says, all right, take up your mat and walk. A mat was something that the poor laid on. It was like a sign that showed they were in the community, that they needed help. They would ask for alms, and it meant they were needy as well. But it was also so you didn't have to sit on the dirt and the rocks. He said, take up your mat and walk. This man looked at him and then stood up. And after 38 years, for the first time, he stood and walked in perfect strength, complete health. And all the Jews looked at this man and said, why are you carrying your mat? That is illegal. I went to Sam's Club yesterday, me and Jess. We make a trip up there about, two, three times a year, Jess, for our clothing run? Yeah. You didn't know I was so cool that I'm like hip with clothes, wearing the same thing Jess wears. We got 6 cases of water. Sign said 3 limit. We disregarded that sign. Went to the register. I went beep, beep. That's a gun, by the way. Scan gun. Beep, beep, beep. See, person for help. Limit 3. So she comes over. She says, I know what's wrong. You're only supposed to have 3 of those. It was on the sign back there. She said, and she whispered and leaned in and said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but just ring it through twice. In other words, take 3 and then make that transaction and do 3 more. And I thought to myself, how privileged am I that someone is willing to break the rules for me? What are you doing carrying your mat on the Sabbath? You're not allowed to carry your mat on the... Three waters, mister! And then the Pharisees looked at Jesus and said, what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. 38 years a man hasn't walked. And the Pharisee attitude in those Jews, in those Pharisees was, all they could look at was the rules that were broken. Today's message on the top of my paper that's in my office said, Religious or Relational, Part 5, The Pharisee in Me. The Pharisee in Me. Why in the world did those people focus on a mat and a day when a man for 38 years who couldn't walk got healed? Because all of us have this bent on who we think God is. Do you know that they weren't thinking that they were being stupid? We never do. Do you think you're being stupid when you're stupid? Sometimes when we're being fun, but I mean, when we really do it. You know, what, those times when everybody else sees it but you? And so why does God give us this picture in the scriptures of this attitude? Why does he focus on these? Because he's trying to draw out of us this nature and mindset and the way we think, especially when we think we're defending him and defending his character. These people weren't necessarily thinking they were defending their honor. They thought they were defending God's honor. They thought they were defending God's rules. Can't carry your mat. That's illegal. God said, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Where is that? Isn't that about mats? 6 days shall you work. On the seventh day, don't do any work. The beauty of God saying, let me give you a vacation. Let me teach you that I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Let me show you that manna that fell in the wilderness for your forefathers, even though it only lasted a day and would disintegrate and start to get worms, that I can even make that last 2 days. I can provide for you. And you're going to have enough. If you're hungry, get a bunch, collect a bunch. If you're not hungry, collect a little. Doesn't matter. There's plenty. But it's today's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you remember the story where the man said, Lord, what do I have to do to have eternal life? And Jesus answered his question with a question, because that's what Jesus does pretty much all the time. And he said, well, what do you think the law says? And he says, well, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He says, you've answered correctly. And the guy says, yeah. But then it says, seeking to justify himself. Please hear that, because that's all of us. Seeking to justify himself, he said, but who is my neighbor? Right, wrong. Let me categorize. Let me pigeonhole who I can love, who I shouldn't love, because surely you don't mean Samaritans. Surely you don't mean Republicans. Surely you don't mean Democrats. Surely you don't mean liberals. Surely you don't mean communists. Surely you don't mean socialists. Surely you don't mean fascists. Surely you don't mean the LGBTQ community. Surely you don't mean the rich. Surely you don't mean the poor. On and on and on. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells a story. There's a certain man who was on his way to Jericho. He fell among thieves and he got beat up. He was had all his money stolen. They threw him on the side of the road, left him for dead. And there was a Pharisee that came by and saw him, got on the other side of the road and went by, didn't help him. And then a Levite came by, saw him, didn't help him. But a Samaritan saw him, helped him, healed his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, disinfected them, soothed them, bandaged them up, took them to a hotel, paid for his night stay, put a credit card down and said, whatever this man needs, give it to him. If I owe anything else when I come back, I'll take care of it. And Jesus looked at the man who sought to justify himself and said, out of those three, which one was his neighbor? Don't you just love the Lord? Please don't tell me any stories, Lord. And the man said, the one who helped him, and he said, you're right, go and do that. What is God like? Is God always analyzing your life? Does he watch you from morning till night, just waiting for you to carry a mat that's illegal? Every word the scripture says, you're given account for. Just waiting for you to mess up so he can throw a thunderbolt and a lightning bolt out of the sky to torch your less than enough sorry life. You never could measure up. Why do you even try? Is that what God's like? So my favorite parable is the one of the 12-hour workers. People work for 12 hours. People work for 9 hours. People work for 3 hours. He invites them all to come in now after their day's work, and they come to get paid. And the people who only worked 1 hour come and get a full day's wage. They are so excited. Wouldn't you be? I mean, if your boss or the person you work for or your company said, you know what? You didn't do anything, but we're just going to give you 20% of the profits. Does that happen? Is there a company out there I want to work for? So the ones that worked 1 hour come and they get full day's wage. So all the 3 hour workers and the 6 hour workers and the 12 hour workers are going like this now, thinking, what are we going to get? And everybody came and got a day's wage. And then they started to grumble. And Jesus finishes the story by saying, what's wrong? Does my generosity upset you? Do you think I'm evil? Do you think God's evil? Do you think he's unjust? Do you think he's unfair? The reason that's my favorite parable is because I love the reality that God gives full day's wages to people who don't deserve them. And I can rejoice in that because it's everybody. We just don't know it. So Jesus tells another story. And he tells this story to evoke the Pharisee in me. He tells all these parables to evoke the Pharisee in me. He tells the story that we read about the man that got healed after 38 years to evoke the Pharisee in me. You can't do that. You can't do that in church. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't dress like that. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't go to that place. If you were a follower of God, you wouldn't drink that alcoholic beverage. And on and on and on and on. And we eat from the tree of good and evil, and we analyze one another, and we judge one another, all to justify who? Ourselves. And so Jesus tells another story. It's the parable. It's your favorite parable, probably. And it's the parable of the prodigal son. And I never saw this till this week. I've read this story multiple times. I've been so close, but I never saw it. Like I was burned by the fire and didn't feel it. Because in the story of the prodigal son, we focus on who? The prodigal son. Because we all identify with the prodigal son. That's the one we like and enjoy to hear about, because that's who we think we are. But that's not the story. I never saw it. It's great and it's true, but that's not the story. The story's the elder brother. And here's how I know. So if you don't know the story, there's a certain man who had two sons, and the younger, the little punk, said, "Dad, give me my inheritance." In other words, "I wish you were dead. I really don't care about you or carrying on the family business. I just, let me get mine. Let me get my toilet paper. Let me get my milk and my bread, because the 3 inches of snow is coming. And we can't live. God forbid we have to go 3 days without eating. And we'd lose a couple calories. I know I could use two." And the younger said, "Give me my inheritance." And the father says, "Sure." Not a very wise father, wasting all his goodness on undeserving, selfish sons. Just letting the rain fall all over people, just and unjust. Just breathing air, enjoying flowers and beautiful sunny and rainy days, just wasting on people. And so this younger son goes, takes his money, and goes off and lives riotously, which means he just fulfilled every desire he had. He went off and he just made new friends. He thought they were friends, and spent all his money on anything that could pleasure him. And eventually the money ran out, Jesus said, and now he finds himself slopping pigs, which for a Jew is not a very good job. And he's gotten to the place now where all he wants is just so hungry. He's reached bottom. All he wants is to fill himself with just what he's eating, the pigs. But for some reason, in his mind, he's doing righteously and he's given the pigs. He won't steal from his owner. And he says he finally comes to himself, like circumstances finally hit him in the head and his eyes popped open. And he went, My father's house. Now I get it. I had everything I needed. My father loved me unconditionally. It was so great back at my father's. I'm going to go back to my father's house and I am going to plead for mercy." And he goes back to his father's house after he's rehearsed this in his mind 100 times. And Jesus says, "And the father saw him from afar off, and he didn't wait till he got, he tore at him." I mean, he went after him, grabbed him and pulled him so tight, he probably almost crushed a rib, and he put a sloppy kiss on his cheek and his neck, and he's so happy his son that was gone is now home, and he leads him up the path and into the family house and tells one of the servants, kill the fatted calf, we're partying, my son that was dead is now alive. And then Jesus says, but the older brother who was in the field heard this commotion. This is who the story's about. And I'll tell you why I know who this is who the story's about. The Pharisee and the elder brother and the Pharisee and me and the Pharisee and the elder brother heard commotion and said to one of the other servants, what's going on? What, I hear a bunch of noise. It looks like they're having a party or somebody, a bunch of people are jumping and dancing. What's going on? He said, didn't you hear? Your brother, the one that took all the money and wasted, he's back. Oh, yay. He's back. The one-hour worker is back. And what's happening? Your father is so excited that he's back, that he's throwing a party for him. Oh, that's nice. So the party's roaring, everybody's having a good time. Probably someone turned water into wine. They're having a good old time. And the father notices that the brother, elder brother's not there. And he's, where is he? He said, well, he's outside. He's a little upset that you're having a party for the younger brother because of the circumstances. And so the father leaves and pursues the elder brother. This is a clue. The father leaves and pursues the elder brother. This is how I know this is who the story is about. Because the younger brother didn't get pursued. The younger brother just came back. And if you read the story in context, here's how it goes. Jesus began to tell parables about the love of God. I threw in the love of God, but it is about the love of God. Because God has been pursuing us to tell us we're enough since before the foundations of the world. Since before the foundations of the world, the Lamb of God has been slain. That means that God has been pursuing us before there was anything visible. Right? Wasn't an afterthought. Wasn't plan B. This is the love story. I'm going to create a family, and that family's going to always think that I'm not who I am, and so they're going to pursue other treasures. And it's going to take them time, but they're going to eventually know that their greatest treasure is my love. And so Jesus began to tell parables, and he says, there was a woman who lost a coin. So what did she do? What'd she do? She pursued it. She cleaned the whole house. And when did she give up? Not until she found it. She pursued it until she found it. And then when she found it, what did she do? She celebrated. Good story. Next parable. The love of God, Jesus said, is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep. But if one's missing, what does the shepherd do? He leaves and pursues. He leaves the 99 and goes and gets the one. And when he finds that sheep, he puts it on his neck and he rejoices. You're ahead of me? And the elder brother is outside, and he's consumed with his own righteousness. I have worked for you my entire life. I've never done anything wrong. And you never threw a party for me. The Pharisee's out there justifying himself. And The father does what? Pursues him. Like the woman that pursued the coin. Like the shepherd that pursued the sheep. Like the father that pursues Pharisees. Self-righteous people. People who think they're enough in their own strength, in their own ability. And all this time, what God is trying to reveal is that all that I have is yours. You thought, Mr. Elder Brother, that you were working for this? Everything I have is yours. Always was. You just didn't know it. I shared with you last week that I love my children, but grandchildren, and just, I don't know what it is. No offense, Cody and Jesse, and just, that's why I want so many of them. Get busy. Fulfill the first commandment in Scripture. You need to get married first. Be fruitful. Multiply. What is it about when Micah comes running into the house? Well, no, let's start. Talking about rules and regulations. What's a doorbell for? What's a doorbell for? Someone's at your door. One ring's sufficient. Don't need 30. And when you know they're there, doorbell loses its significance. Not with Micah. Ding dong, 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 ding dong. Do they know I'm here? Ding dong, ding dong. Micah, you can say ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. You can't do that. That's not what doorbells are for. I want to sit next to Papa. I'm going to have to get a straw wrapper in the face. Water all over me and the table. Fish, goldfish stuck to the forehead. It's against the rules. It's against the decorum. There's protocol. There's etiquette. Nobody else is wearing goldfish on their foreheads in this restaurant. Can Papa put me to sleep? I want Papa to put me to sleep. You know what we're going to do tonight, Papa? We're not going to look at pictures in your phone or the videos. You're going to read a book. Great. What book are we going to read? The one that has my name in it. So we read a book about three machines. One was a excavator, that was Micah, and a dump truck and a one with a lift bucket, and how they built a school. And then he said, after we read that, he's like, now we're going to look at pictures and videos in your phone. You know which one I want? No, Micah, which one do you want? So if you're like me, you have thousands of pictures and videos in your phone. Which one do you want to watch, Micah? I want to watch the one with where they throw the egg. I won't describe to you what that one is. Not that I don't want to, but just for the sake of time. Micah, can we just look at this one that's right here? The one that's right in front of us? That I don't have to look through my phone for the next 15 minutes. Can we just look at this? No, I want the one where they throw the egg. And so I'm looking for the... That's the one! What would happen if someone would whisper in his ear, hey, you know how you have so much fun with your papa? Yeah? Well, he doesn't love you. He's kind of mean. And he doesn't like when you do all that stuff because it's against the rules. And it's against the order and the format of proper living. And they whisper in his ear all this garbage, kind of like what happened in the garden. And he whispered in his ear, did he tell you that? He's holding out on you. So the next time Micah would come to the house, would he have a different possible mindset on some things if someone whispered in his ear and lied to him about how his papa really thinks about him? And instead of ringing the bell 30 times, his mom and his dad said, look, don't ring the bell. And everybody's walking on eggshells because this is the rules of the house. We are not jumping all over the couch today. We are not using the octagon beautiful wooden table as a race course for your cars. The dog is not going to run laps around the octagon table and tear up the carpet. And everybody comes now into the house because it's no longer a home like this. Don't upset Dad. Don't get Papa mad. That's what religion does. Why are you carrying your mat? The guy just got healed from 38 years of lameness. And nobody could rejoice. Nobody even helped him, tried to help him into the pool. I bet a bunch of people offered advice. Because that's what happens. That's what Pharisee and me does. We love to offer advice. We don't help, but we love to offer advice. And if you do it, we'll tell you how to do it better. But all of a sudden, something changes in me when I see this incredible love pursuing me. Not for because of who I am, that I don't have to be perfect. Micah, you have to be perfect for Papa to love you. Don't do these things, do these things. There is nothing that boy can do to change the reality of my love for him. And it doesn't scratch the surface of Heavenly Father's love for us. It does not even compare. Can you hear that? Can you really hear that? That's what Jesus came to reveal. You being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more? How much more? Am I enough? Do I have to be perfect? How do I get back that feeling when I could ring the bell 30 times? How do I get back to the feeling where I can just get in his lap? You stop believing the lie that was whispered in your ear. And with childlike love and faith, you crawl up into Papa's lap and say, tell me a story. Let's bow our heads. Father, our attempts at describing and thinking about your love and your goodness fall short, no matter how great we think we get it. But thank you that we can just rest in the mystery. Thank you that we can just rest in the love. What can separate you from the love of God? What can separate you from the love of God? Anything in heaven? Anything on earth? Anything created? Famine, nakedness, peril, the sword, anything present, anything to come. Paul says nothing can separate us. The pursuer, the one looking for the coin, the one looking for the sheep, the one looking for the Pharisee in me, the pursuer has been coming after you all the time and will never relent until you see his love. Not until you get better, not till you get perfect, until you recognize you are loved. Father, by your power of your Spirit, may we truly apprehend this reality. And may it transform us so that we see it in every image bearer we come across. Regardless of the table they're sitting at, may we sit at your table. May we be inviters to your table. May we be bridge builders to your table. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.